Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles, hailing from an altitude of 5,280 feet in Boulder, Colorado. And I want to welcome all our subscribers, listeners, and people that tune in to this in one of the many ways you can, which is possibly you're on iTunes, possibly you're on Stitcher or Facebook or YouTube, whichever way you are tuning into the Mile High Podcast. I highly recommend, if you enjoy these episodes, to subscribe. So that way you never, ever miss an episode. And we are now being downloaded in so many countries, which is just a great honor. And I also want to remind people that we are having our next Mile High annual event, August 16th to 19th, 2018, going into year six. And register for that, www.milehighcairo.org. I see that our guest was writing down the date, which is good, to make sure it's in his calendar. So put that in your calendar, etched in stone, and we look forward to having you rise up and join us at Mile High. It keeps getting bigger and better, and this year we're going to have more of an international flavor, and we are very enthusiastic about supporting the Australian Spinal Research Foundation this year. So with that being said, it is time to introduce our illustrious guest. He almost needs no introduction in chiropractic circles because he's received so many awards. He serves the IFCO as its president, the International Federation of Chiropractors and Organizations, that we are really happy to support the IFCO, and we suggest that if you are listening to this and you're not a member, to become one. And he has also recently been appointed Dean of Clinical Sciences, if I'm saying that correctly, at Life West. And there's very few chiropractic colleges, sadly, that we would like to endorse or be proud of in the profession at this current moment. And Life West is one of them we are glad to endorse and be fully supportive of. And especially with this new Dean of Clinical Sciences, Dr. Jack Borla. Welcome to the Mile High Podcast.
Thanks, Danny. Let me just say that when you were earlier speaking about Mile High and the dates, and you said they should be etched in stone. Well, that's what I do, but the rest of you can probably use your Outlook calendar.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Yeah. And I really like that picture of you holding the stone tablets as Moses. That's one of my favorite pictures. So how are things going since you have shifted from solely being in private practice and, I don't know, running an international organization to adding to your plate working at one of our chiropractic institutions, Life Chiropractic College West?
It's been fabulous. So I still have my practice. I'm still practicing there. And of course, I still do the IFCO. And now we've added the Stena Clinics at Life West, which quite frankly is a huge honor. It's a huge task. It's also a huge honor, and I've been welcomed with open arms, which has been fantastic. The staff here is absolutely incredible. They are committed, they're loving, they're serving. They are the lasting purpose that we speak of. And so my transition in has been rather smooth. The learning curve has been rather steep. And I think we are making incremental steps towards really solidifying Life West as one of the few colleges who truly, truly instills into its students chiropractic in its essence.
Excellent, excellent. And I would imagine that working on the inside of a chiropractic institution has a whole other world that we don't know about on the outside of a chiropractic institution that we don't realize how much is actually involved. So we're grateful for you stepping up in that capacity. So tell us a little bit about, first of all, let's let people know you, because though I think a lot of people know you, there are some people that may not believe it or not. So tell people, because you've been around so long, tell people a little bit about how you found your way into chiropractic.
Well, I was hanging out with Tyrannosaurus Rex, and so I found my way into chiropractic in a rather unfortunate yet fortunate way. Many years ago, my first wife, and I've had several. No, I've only had two. I have. My first wife woke up one morning unable to move her legs, and it happened to be New Year's Day. And this was something which completely took us by surprise, because the night before everything was great, and upon awakening she couldn't couldn't move her legs, and so, you know, we panicked, and I put her in the car and took her to the emergency room. We went to the emergency room, and the doctors there asked questions. They did their analysis, they imaged, they injected, they medicated, and by about 3:30 in the afternoon, there was no improvement in her condition. And they said, there's nothing more we can do. You have to kind of wait. Call your medical doctor tomorrow. So put her back in the car, took her home, quite distraught. And, you know, it's New Year's Day, so you're making your typical New Year's Day calls. And I called a friend of mine, explained to him what happened. He says, well, why don't you call my chiropractor? And I said, gee, that's great, but first of all, it's New Year's Day. And more important, what's the chiropractor going to be able to do that the medical doctors couldn't do with all of their equipment and utilities? And so he said, call him anyway. So I called the guy, and the first thing that happened was that he accidentally New Year's Day, and I thought that was kind of weird. And so I explained to him our situation, and he said, okay, why don't you bring her in at 5:30? I said, okay, tomorrow at 5:30. No, he says, no, today. And I said, it's New Year's Day. And he says, I understand that, bring her in. So I thought that was kind of weird. But nonetheless, we put her in the car. I brought her there, carried her in, explained our situation. He said, here's what we're going to do. He says, we're looking for this. If it's there, I can help you. He did his x-rays, he did his analysis. He laid her on this table that went up and down that I'd never seen before. He put her in this weird position, and he adjusted her, and she walked out.
Wow.
Yeah, and I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. And so he explained why that might be so. And he talked about the repertory of reparative processes that happen when the body is free of nerve interference. And so I was impressed. At the time, I was in biotech, and so I was quite science-oriented. And it all made sense to me. So I enlisted in his care. And so I would go in, and I had no obvious symptoms. I had a number of issues, as you know, but no symptoms. And when I went in, he did his analysis on me and said, there's some things we can do. And so we went every 2 weeks, never missed until he passed away. And when he passed away, we went to see somebody else. And so chiropractic was in the back of my mind, despite what the things I was doing. I was in biotech. I left biotech, and I owned and operated 3 restaurants and hated that, and went back into biotech for a year. And I said, you know what, I've got to do something different with my life. I'm not happy. So I looked in the chiropractic colleges, and in the Bay Area, there were 2. San Francisco Bay Area, where I live, there were 2. And so I picked one of them, not the one where I'm currently employed, but I worked at the other one. And the very first day that I sat in those chairs in that classroom, I said, this is where I should have been when I was 19 and not 39. But at the age of 39, I switched my life. I switched careers. It felt right from the very beginning, and everything fell into place for me. And I've been in loving and enjoying this profession for many, many years, and I plan on doing it for many, many more.
Well, and we are very grateful that you made that shift into chiropractic, because you've made some incredible contributions. Now, let's talk a little bit. LifeWest has been a supporter of Mile High multiple times, and we're grateful for that. And we're grateful. I know I've had many patients from my office find their way to LifeWest as students. There's a couple of them there right now that you may have met. And, you know, we focus on telling people to go to schools that focus on subluxation, innate intelligence, universal intelligence, and, you know, teaching people to analyze the spine for spinal subluxations. Let's talk about that. What are some exciting things that you've seen now that you are involved with LifeWest?
Well, interestingly enough, with my hire in July, concurrently there was a hire with Ankur Tayal, who is our now chair of the philosophy. And he's deeply instilled in philosophy. We also have a new chair of technique, Dr. Ramnik Bogle, and they both are very principled. And so the college, from the board of trustees down, has made it our purpose to make sure that we provide chiropractic philosophy from day one, so that in every single class, when appropriate, chiropractic philosophy will be discussed and taught and instilled into their deep beings. And this is, I think, one of the things that's going to make us rather unique in terms of chiropractic education, in that we are going to be very, very, very well versed in chiropractic philosophy. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to go out and recite all the green books, but we're going to be very grounded in the principles of chiropractic. And I think that's something that very few colleges around the world are actually doing. The other thing that we're doing is we're going to be, and this is something which is brand new, is that we're going to be instilling the sense of the health center or clinic from the very, very first day that the students come on campus. Right now, it's in, like in most colleges, the students undergo their academics, And then at some point, there's a magical transition from student intern. Well, we're going to do that from the day one. So that students, when they first come here, will be introduced into health center concepts and will be actually shadowing interns at varying degrees of their progress. So that when they get into the health center, it's not a big change. It's not a foreign thing to them, but rather it's just an extension of their educational process. The three things that we're committed to at LifeWest in terms of the health center is that, one, everything that we do has to be relevant. If it's not relevant, then we're not going to be teaching it. Two, it's got to be educational. These students are leaving here with vast amounts of information. We want to make sure that that information is applicable to the human experience. And the third thing that we want to do is that it's got to be fun. Because if it's not fun, we really don't want to do a whole lot of it. Now, we understand there's some serious mandates, but we're handling those in a fun situation. We're not making this thing a rigorous thing. So one of the things that Dr. Oberstein has said is that in the classroom, it's got to be rigorous, but outside the classroom, it's got to be easy. And what he means by that is that, yes, we want our students to be well-versed in their sciences in the academic portion, but the rest of it shouldn't be a struggle. You should not struggle going through clinic. And so we're really working very closely with their interns to make their experiences something they can look back on and say, boy, I'm really glad I went to LifeWest. And so those are the things that we're doing. The other thing that we're doing is we're really beginning to, because we know who our customers are, the customers are the students, and then we call these people the millennials. We know the millennials at any one time of the day have 5 to 7 different devices working. So we're going to really begin to bring technology. We recently met with a company that is in technology, and they're very excited to be working with us to bring technology to our students for the learning process. So Dr. Oberstein and his staff have really gone out into the community of technology looking for gaps where we have current gaps and bridge those gaps with the available technology so that we can speak the language of the students. And the way they speak is through technology these days.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Well, and I have to say this, I'm very enthusiastic to be looking at someone who has a higher up position, an administrative position that's significant at a chiropractic institution that A, is the president of the IFCO at the same time, and also has this incredible poster in their office behind them from Simon Senzon. That's really quite impressive. It's a historical, Stevenson's poster. So all of that's really exciting to have a great culture like that at LifeWest. And we want to see more chiropractic institutions worldwide certainly go in that direction. And I really feel that the need is there because the tide is shifting. I think my personal opinion, and I want to ask your opinion on this or your point of view, is that there's the whole thing of scope expansion, moving to diagnosis and more allopathy that we've seen over the last decade has been, it's really, to me, it's reaching for it's like a dying man that's drowning. It's reaching for its last breath. That's why there's so much flailing around, because insurance has shifted so much that really all the people that were dependent on that kind of model are going for scope expansion because they don't have anything else to do, because they can't communicate the value of chiropractic or deliver a good chiropractic adjustment, or not well enough to run a successful business, as that's the center of the business. So they have to find other ways to bring resources in. And so I think that students know, and new grads know, that they are coming out starting with, I have to get people on table and deliver what really chiropractic is if I'm going to be successful. So I think there's a renaissance that's going to happen, or a rebirth through that. And we need to see that come in happen in our schools, right?
Yep. So here's and you're right, but before they get on the table, what we really want to instill in our students is a very thorough and complete and objective analysis of the spine and nerve system.
Absolutely.
And so we what we are doing, and I believe we may be the only school, is that we're actually providing non-adjusting credits for those cases where the patient is clear.
Wow.
So by using specific criteria, which are the criteria defined, by using these criteria, we're able to go into the files and say, this person, for example, underwent a NUCA analysis or an EPIC analysis or a knee chest upper cervical analysis, And based on the objective findings, that patient was clear today, and so they don't need to be adjusted. But the most important thing is being certain on the analysis, because the analysis is what's going to drive us as to whether or not that patient gets adjusted that day. So we're really emphasizing the check and the adjustment when necessary. And I think that's a different mindset. And so what we're doing is we're looking at what are the objective criteria that we could use that is going to assure us that we're doing the right thing. I'd like to read you something, if you don't mind.
Please, go ahead. I love when you read, Jack.
Oh, thank you. This comes actually from, can you see this?
I can. Okay.
This is known as the chiropractic textbook, and as many of us know, there are textbooks, like, for example, Guyton for physiology. It's a pretty good textbook. So if you're going to go into a subject, then you should probably know what the textbook is. And just anybody can write a book, as we know, but to write a book which has been endorsed by B.J. Palmer in the chiropractic field is lends quite a bit of credibility to it. And B.J. actually called this the manuscript. This is now the manuscript that, before this was publicized, we didn't have or published. So the junior section of this particular text. Now, this textbook is divided into freshman, sophomore, junior, senior texts. And in the junior text, Article 297, this is the philosophy of major work. And here's what I find very interesting. It says, shotgun adjusting lowers the constructed survival value in the body. It has long been observed clinically that adjusting too many subluxations or adjusting too often makes the patient very weak, and if carried to excess, is very harmful. The reparation required in getting well is just as exhaustive as any form of extreme adaptation, as getting acclimated, etc. By adjusting one local and its intended conditions, the material resources of the body can be directed to one place. So it goes on, but what it's saying is that stop hitting all the high points and hit the points that are necessary. And the way you know that is by doing your objective measurements and knowing precisely how to deliver the adjustment. And then it's a technique issue, which is the best technique for that particular patient, which is the best technique for that particular doctor. And so the analysis is what's important. So we're emphasizing the analysis, and that's where I'm so proud of our technique department under Dr. Ramnik Bogle, in that he really is emphasizing the analysis. And so we're teaching these interns and these students how to become great analyzers of the spine and nerve system. Once that's done, then it's a question of technique, and you can deliver the adjustment, and then you let the body do what it's going to do, because we know that the magic happens in between the adjustments or after the adjustments. So that's what I think LifeWest is, again, distinguishing itself from other colleges. Not that the other ones are bad, but what we're doing differently is that we're really going back to the grounding of philosophy. And once you become grounded in philosophy and you know why you're doing what you're doing, then the rest is pretty easy. The thing that we have to instill in our students is that chiropractic is a separate and distinct and very unique profession. We don't have competition. No one else does what we do. We're the only doctors that are highly trained on the analysis and in the correction of verbal subluxation. No one else owns that. And if we become very certain about why we're doing what we're doing and how to do it, then there's no reason that we won't be graduating very competent and confident doctors. What we want is we want all students who leave here to be extremely well-versed in critical and clinical thinking, and then being able to deliver on the promise.
Well, you know, an important thing about what you just read and shared, I feel, is this. Determining when not to adjust or not to apply a force, or if the person's clear, or whatever languaging you want to use, but we're sharing the same concept, is vital, because if chiropractic is so powerful when applied appropriately, and people see such great, I mean, I like using the word miraculous, some people don't, but you see such miraculous changes in chiropractic that it's so powerful when applied correctly, it can be equally damaging, if not more, when applied incorrectly or inappropriately. And right. I think what happens is you see in chiropractic education many times, students don't develop a reverence or appreciation for the analysis part. And, you know, then you just get, well, I can just hit anything.
Right.
Because all techniques work. So we don't have to be, you know, analytical about what we're doing. Right.
Yeah.
And there's an art. It's not just all analytical. There's an art to that. However, you need to have a reverence for analysis and your outcomes.
Right. So all techniques do work when they are properly applied and when they're necessary. And so you know, we've heard about, you hit somebody in the ass, or their butt with a shovel, and they get better. And we get that. And that, I think, the point is that the body is amazing at adaptation. One, and especially when it's provided a specific scientific chiropractic adjustment. The flying seven of the 80s, and still today in some cases, the flying seven, can it have some benefit? Sure it can, but we just learned that adjusting too much or too often can be detrimental to the body, because you overwhelm the body's ability to repair, adapt, and restore itself to proper health. So the analysis is really important. And that's what we really want to emphasize with our students. We also want them to be very good at the adjustment. Whatever technique they use, we encourage them to drill, but drill appropriately and with great intent. And we believe that when we do this, that we are going to be graduating some very confident doctors of chiropractic who are ready to go out there and serve the communities and know who they are, what they do, why they do it, and how to do it. And I think that's going to be the difference. The shift that we're going to start to see is that because we're focusing on the chiropractic part rather than the healthcare part, it's the chiropractic part that we are specialists in. Let's stick to what we do. We'll stay in our lane. We'll do it super well. And I think the confidence and the competence of the graduates is going to be very evident in the years to come.
Well, I want to thank you for doing your part to, on the educational level, contribute to making sure chiropractic is well represented in our communities, because we need that profession-wide, most certainly. And we also have a new president at LifeWest, Ron Oberstein. So that's also very exciting. So there's a lot of renaissance going on just at LifeWest.
Yeah, and I got to tell you that I have a co-dean. She's the dean of clinical education, Dr. Tamara McIntyre, who's just so well-versed in clinical education and chiropractic education. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better partner in this whole process of taking it where we've been to where we can be and fine-tuning and honing it. And I do think that we have the right players. I think Dr. Oberstein and the Board of Trustees have put the right players at the right time for the right reasons to really advance LifeWest and therefore chiropractic. My whole purpose in coming here was to advance chiropractic. And the vehicle by which we do that is LifeWest, the educational system.
Well, and that's because the future of chiropractic has to do with the students right now. You know,
sure.
we have to think about, and that's a big part of Mile High, is we always, when we put together a program, we think of three things, which is the past, present, and future. So we want to be, firmly rooted in the foundational values, and those foundational values advance, grow, refine, but the same foundational principles. The present, because we have to be cognizant of what's going on in the political, educational realm, and serving the people that we do all this for. But we also have to have a keen eye on the future, because those two things, past and present, are going to lose their values if we don't have more chiropractors coming out that are focused on the principle and focused on really keeping the main thing the main thing.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's that's what will distinguish chiropractic colleges from colleges who do chiropractic.
Yes. Well said. Well said. So, Dr. Jack, before we go, is there any last things that you want to share? Things coming up or events at LifeWest? Or we're in October. What's the next? Is there a student recruitment event going on or something like that? Or
there's just, Dr. Oberstein and Dr. Mark Ziegler, who is our Vice President of Institutional Advancement, they're on the road constantly. Doing student recruitment. They were just in Canada. They were on the East Coast of the United States. So they're constantly doing that. One of the things that we're really excited about is we have an upcoming mission trip, or we call them service trips, to India. Mm-hmm. This is going to take place in November, where we'll see thousands and thousands of people. And one of the things that we're doing is we're instilling, even though there'll be so many people, the voluminous number of people, that we want to make sure that our interns and the doctors there are really focusing on the analysis. What's the objective criteria to determine, even though it's going to be a very short encounter, whether or not this patient needs to be adjusted or not, and if so, where, how, and how often?
Right.
We'll be 3 days, and it's possible that some of these people will be coming back all 3 days, and maybe even a couple times a day for those 3 days, depending upon their presentation. But we have to have, we're really going to emphasize looking at this as an individual to the best that we can, deciding do they need to be adjusted, if so, how and where, and then how often they should come back.
Excellent.
So that's That's really fun. We actually have a meeting today. Dr. Overstreet and I and a few others will be meeting with the mayor of the local, the town that we're in, and the city manager and the fire department and police department chiefs to see how we can provide chiropractic care to those departments and have them come to our health center. We have this gorgeous health center that we want to overutilize. we want to wear out the carpets. We want to recover the tables. We want to replace our instrumentation because it's just been overused. And so one of our goals is to not just volume for the sake of volume, but volume for the sake of exposing these interns to as many different cases as they can, understanding how they can take care of the people here in the community, and focus on their communication skills.
Well, I'll end on this. And this is my advice to you as in your role. If I should be so bold to give someone as, you know, as seasoned as you some advice.
And I'm discounting, of course, the source of this next comment, but go ahead.
Which is this. When I was in clinic, I thought to myself, and this is ancient history as well, I am not trying to get credits. I'm not trying to get numbers relative to requirements. I'm going into practice. This is my practice, and I'm going to act as if I am a DC, not a DC-to-be, and as if this is my practice, and take it as seriously as if I was trying to reach the masses in my own office. Because if a person starts with a mindset, I've got to get my requirements, that becomes, I've got to get the number of people to make my car payment. And it's the same line of thinking. So my recommendation to you is to instill in students while they're in school to take their clinic experience as if they're starting practice, not that they're going into clinic.
That's exactly what we're doing, Danny. We're letting them know that this is their first office.
Right.
The difference is that they may not have a lot of experience. However, we've got 15 doctors in our clinic that have a magnitude of experience, you know, over 300 years of collective experience or more, to share with these interns. And so when an intern goes out and, for example, recruits and brings in a new patient, it's not the new patient who's going to see the intern who's got, you know, 14 hours in the health center. It's the intern who's supported by all these doctors who are more willing to share their knowledge and make recommendations. And so, yes, it is their first practice, but it's not their first practice with a few hours. It's their first practice with a number of hours. And they can choose whichever doctors they would like for help. And so we definitely make this their first office. This is their office. There's rules, of course, associated with that. But this is their first office, and it's a learning session. And our job is to make sure that they know they're well supported, and I believe they know that they are well supported.
Excellent. And I really thank you for taking, you know, you're a very busy man now since you're becoming more and more important. Taking your time out to be part of the Mile High podcast. I know you have many meetings and people waiting for you as would to be expected on any given day.
They're at the door.
Yeah. So we really appreciate you taking the time to be part of the Mile High podcast. And we look forward to seeing everybody. Reminder, www.milehighcairo.org is where you want to go to register for Mile High 2018, August 16th to 19th, and subscribe to this podcast because we bring you great episodes like this. I mean, it's not too often you get time with Jack Borla, so this is very valuable.
Can I make one slight
plug?
Please. After having plugged Mile High, if you're interested in what we're doing here at LifeQuest and you believe that this is something that you want to support, because BJ told us that we really have some obligations, one of which was to support a college.
Yes.
If you believe that LifeQuest is consistent with your philosophy on education and chiropractic, then we'd love for you to join our president's circle. It's easy to do if you go into LifeWest.edu. There's a tab there where you can donate. You can donate in the President Circle. We'd love to have you. The money that we're raising for the President Circle is going to go strictly to the students. It does not go to the campus. It goes right to the students and supporting some of the things that they're doing, like maybe paying for their board reviews or maybe even paying for their board exams. So Dr. Oberstein and Dr. Ziegler are working really hard to build that President Circle. A lot of our friends are part of that circle, and that circle is really intended to support the students even further.
Excellent.
LifeQuest.edu. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Jack, and thank you for all you're doing there and everybody else at LifeQuest. It's very good to have another school that's focused on spinal subluxations and the adjustment.
Terrific.
Excellent. Have a great day, and please don't keep those people waiting for you anymore.
All right. Thanks, Danny. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Like our page on Facebook, www.facebook.com/milehighcairo.